This is KNBA News. I'm Jocelyn Estes. The House Resources Committee worked over the weekend revising a bill to advance a major liquefied natural gas project. The committee is considering legislation that would set state participation in the LNG project at about 25%. A bill that could supplant the minimum wage initiative has popped up in the legislature. The House Rules Committee introduced the bill on Friday. It's modeled after a citizens' initiative that is slated to appear on the August primary ballot. The bill would raise the minimum wage up from $7.75 an hour to $9.75 over the course of 2 years, and it would peg the minimum wage to inflation. If the bill is enacted into law, it would make the citizens' initiative moot and remove the question from the ballot. Initiative organizers strongly oppose any effort to preempt their initiative out of concern the legislature might try to water it down. When a different minimum wage initiative was introduced in 2002, the legislature passed a similar bill to keep it from getting on the ballot. A year later, lawmakers came back and stripped the inflation component. Ed Flanagan, an initiative sponsor and former labor commissioner, says he's worried the same tactic could be used again. The bill is scheduled to be heard by the House Labor and Commerce Committee on Wednesday. A recent study by a team led by archaeologist Madonna Moss suggests that herring in southeast Alaska and British Columbia were once much more abundant and widespread than they are now. KCAW's Rachel Waltholz reports.
Moss is part of a team of scientists who pulled together data from 171 archaeological sites stretching from Yakutat to Puget Sound. They identified nearly 500,000 different fish bones from the sites, some of which are nearly 10,000 years old. And what they found was a lot of herring. The team found herring bones in all but two of the sites. And Moss says,
herring bones were the most numerous bones in most of the sites. And that was a surprise because on the Northwest Coast, if you ask what fish is the most important, people will, of course, they'll say salmon.
The team found herring bones everywhere, in places where you find large populations of herring today, and, more tantalizingly, in lots of places where you won't find herring today, but where oral histories or place names imply herring were once present.
And that is a significant finding in that it helps illustrate how the spatial distribution of herring has contracted into fewer localities, whereas in the past, herring bones were really widespread in archaeological sites. So there's been a spatial constriction of where herring are abundant.
In all, nearly half of the fish bones collected from the sites were from herring. The team concluded that the only way you'd see that number of herring bones in that many sites is if herring populations in the past were far larger and far more widespread than they are now. And that, they argue, should influence how the populations are managed today. That hypothesis isn't accepted by many fishery managers, but it aligns with what many in the Sitka tribe have said for a long time.
I think that the archaeological work in this case really does support the life experience of people who've been fishing herring and watching the herring and collecting eggs for a very long time.
The paper was published in February in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The lead author is Ian McKechnie of the University of British Columbia. It's a follow-up to a major project by Moss and other researchers, first published in 2010, that pulled together archaeological data, oral histories, and biological and historical records to try to piece together a map of where herring were known to spawn in southeast Alaska before the advent of industrial fishing. This most recent paper was in part an attempt to extend that map down the coast, focusing in particular on British Columbia. Moss says that many factors influence herring populations. That includes pollution, climate change, and the rebounding populations of predators like whales and sea lions. But she personally thinks that industrial fishing in the late 19th and early 20th centuries had a much more severe impact than modern managers assume.
I think that huge numbers of herring were taken out of the system years ago, and then there was kind of a lull, and the fisheries recovered. And then it was in the 1970s that becomes kind of the baseline that many fishery scientists rely on. And so if you compare the herring numbers to the 1970s, they might not look so bad. But if you go back 150 years, they look pretty paltry.
And if you go back 1,500 years, it might look even more so. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Rachel Waltholz.
This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes.